everybody. This is episode 374 of the Pig's Latest Sausage Podcast, and I'm your host, Mark Kuznets. I still am a little bit not used to that intro, but this is episode 374, and I've got some stuff to talk about, usual things and whatnot, but I want to start off with this wonderful story I saw when perusing Not the Onion, which has become my favorite subreddit, I think, because, and it's one of the more popular ones, because it's basically pretty self-explanatory. It's where people post stories that seem like onion stories, but they're actually real stories. Sometimes the stories on there are just normal stories, and then you downvote those, and you're like, get out of here. But one in particular just made me feel really good inside. And it's really short, and it's really stupid, but it has to be talked about. So, this comes to us from CP24, Toronto's breaking news. And the title, the headline is, Actor Jaden Smith blasts Toronto hotel for allegedly spiking his pancakes with cheese. Oh no. So Jaden Smith took to Twitter on Sunday to call out the Four Seasons in Toronto for allegedly spiking his breakfast with cheese. And he did this over the course of four different tweets. And I just want to read them because they're wonderful. And I'm gonna read them in the order that he tweeted them. The Four Seasons in Toronto just made me want to throw up on myself. I hope the Four Seasons in Toronto puts me on the no-stay list. The Four Seasons in Toronto spiked my pancakes with cheese. I'm surprised I'm still alive. After they kicked me out of my room. Who kicked you out of your room, Jaden? Was it the Four Seasons in Toronto? Because you forgot to mention that in that tweet. And I just want to make sure that it's the Four Seasons in Toronto you're talking about, so that I don't get my pancakes spiked with cheese. Because, God help us all, we're going to die if our pancakes are spiked with cheese. When I saw this, I was like, what is going on? And I don't think there's been any confirmation as to whether or not he's lactose intolerant, but even then, he wouldn't have been killed by it. You know, he maybe would have had some, well, no, if he's lactose intolerant, he probably would have had some nasty diarrhea, but he would have survived. I just think it's so weird. I'm thinking it's not a lactose intolerant thing, but more of a vegan, yuppie, hipster, stupid, freaking I don't know bullshit that all the hip people do to be cool and whatnot, because he seems like one of those type of people. Real trendsetter. Yeah, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. I don't get it. I'm also just curious. I've never heard of pancakes with cheese, so I'm just curious why, regardless of Jaden's preferences when it comes to his pancakes, why they would put cheese with it. That seems weird. For most people, I think it probably would taste good. I like that kind of sweet and salty combination. Not to say cheese is nothing but sodium, but sort of that difference, that sweet and savory or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what the combination is because I don't know how to describe cheese. It's something. I love cheese, but I'm also Sicilian. At least half Sicilian, and therefore cheese runs in my blood, making the pizza pie. But yeah, thankfully, Jaden survived all this, though he will never be at the Four Seasons in Toronto ever again. Surely not. Nobody knows where he stayed after that, after being kicked out. He could be on the streets. He could be homeless now because he can no longer stay in the Four Seasons in Toronto. But yeah, that was lovely. Another story I saw that amused me was, as crime, and this is from The Economist, as crime dries up, Japan's police hunt for things to do. So, apparently, and this is a good thing, crime has decreased significantly in Japan after, over the last, I think, 15 or so years, they've increased the police force by, oh god, I think it was like 3,500 police, but I could be wrong. I'm trying to find where the number is, because all I'm seeing is how many cops they do have, which is over 259,000 uniformed officers, which is quite a lot, I feel like. I'm trying, because I'm not sure what the population of Japan is. But that seems, I'm wondering what that ratio is of police to regular citizens. But because of this, police have been looking for other things to arrest people for, just to find things to do. And I love some of the things that have been happening. Wait, okay, so right here it says, the ratio of officers to population is very high, especially in Tokyo, home to the world's biggest metropolitan police force, a quarter bigger than the one protecting New York. So it is on the high side. Here, this is one of the things that I really just found amusing. One woman describes how five officers crowded into her cramped apartment after she reported her knickers being swiped from a clothesline. A small army of detectives was assigned last year to apprehend a group of 22 people who had been growing marijuana for their personal use only and smoking it in deserted rural spots. In fact, as the police run out of things to do, they are becoming more inventive about what constitutes a crime, says Kanako Takayama of Kyoto University. In one recent case, she says, they arrested a group of people who had shared the cost of renting a car, deeming the arrangement an illegal taxi. Some prefectures have begun prosecuting people who ride their bicycles through red lights. In 2015, a man was arrested for scribbling Adolf Hitler mustaches on posters of Shinzo Abe, the prime minister. Yeah, I found it kind of amusing. It's also just sort of a sign or a contrast to the way things are here in the States. And especially for me living in Chicago, crime is definitely not on the decline. I think over last year it's on the decline, but that's because last year was one of the worst years on record. And I think it was the worst year in over 20 years. So yeah, that was an amusing little story. I'll put in the link dump as well. But anyway, I want to talk about some anime and some video games. And I'm going to start with anime. Just got one series that I've watched 3 episodes of so far. It's the last series on my spring anime to watch list that is available legally through the services I'm subscribed to. E.g., I'm not subscribed to Anime Strike, and therefore I can't see the shows they have, which I'm not sure if they have anything in particular I want to watch, but I've not really checked because it doesn't matter. I'm not paying $5 a month. I may take that bullet when they release their Apple TV app in the fall because that's where I watch most of the anime I watch. But even so, their streaming service is garbage in general, and just especially for anime, in that you have to manually say you want subtitles each time. It doesn't remember that even when you start watching and then you continue on to the next episode, which is annoying. But moving on, the series, the last one I started watching finally is Tsukiga Kere, which is a slice of life series that is also about young romance, a sort of first loves in what is it? What is the name of that school? Junior high? But it's not called, I don't know. But they're like, you know, 13, 14, that age. Think they're not all third years, but the two it's focusing on are third years. So it follows this young boy, Kotaro, and this young girl, Akane, who is on the track team. She's also very nervous. She keeps this little plushy doll thing that she squeezes whenever she's really feeling extra nervous. And Kotaro is in the literature club, and he's a writer, aspiring to be a writer, submits his stuff to things and whatnot. But they kind of catch each other's eye in the first episode, and it really just feels like a very true-to-life story about young people dealing with school and classes and clubs and the inklings of first love. It's very, very sweet. It has a very kind of cute, charming art style, in that there's a heavy amount of highlighting to the characters, and there's a softness to it, and sort of, I want to say that the characters are a bit more rounded overall, in that there's I don't feel like, for the most part, a lot of the characters are tall and lanky, but they're just sort of more averagely. That sounds so wrong, but whatever. But the way it handles their interactions, not just the two main characters, but the side characters as well. There are a few other main ones too, who are like a good friend of Akane, I think Shinatsu, and Takumi, because there's another boy on the track team who clearly likes Akane, but she is kind of into this Kotaro guy. But I really like the way it handles everything, because they text a lot using their LINE app with each other, and the things they say to each other is exactly what I would expect kids that age to say to each other, and their internal thoughts are exactly how I would feel in that situation at that age, wanting to ask if she likes any boy but is too scared to actually ask her, because if he asked her that, he'll find out, and that would give him some relief. But if he asked her that, she's clearly going to know that he's into her, because why else would he ask her about that? And it's just a really, really adorable show. So if you want to watch something that is really cute and sweet and adorable and full of first love and all that hope and everything, Tsukiga Kare is definitely worth checking out. The only thing I will say is that I feel tense every time I watch an episode, because I just, maybe it won't happen, but given that it's about first love and all that kind of stuff, I know things are going to go badly. They're going to go awry. It's not going to all work out, because things like that never end up working out. You know, it's just too hard for things like that to work out in the end, because everyone involved is not familiar with such situations. They don't have the experience, and therefore mistakes will be made. Things will happen that they don't know how to deal with, and usually it's hard to recover after a certain amount of it. But I really like it, and I'd highly recommend checking it out if you like slice of life romance series, because that's really what it is. There's not going to be some grand thing happening or anything like that. It's just going to follow these kids in school while they're doing their club activities, falling in love with each other. I'm sure there will be love triangles as well, and some school drama possibly with, you know, where do I go to school and all that kind of jazz. So you want some drama that will probably be coming in the later half, in the second half. but also a lot of sweetness and adorableness. Definitely check out Sukigakure, which is available on Crunchyroll. Not sure if there's a dub for it, but I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about a dub for a series like this. But yeah, that's pretty much it anime wise. I'm keeping up with, I don't know, 10 shows at this point. Love Tyrant got awful, and I'm probably just going to stick with it because I've been watching the dub because I didn't like it in the first place, and I was just like, whatever. Hikano Note is stupid, but Kato is continuing to be intriguing with a solid dub, probably the most watchable dub of the season that I've seen. Though I don't like the CG, but it is the most I've ever been able to. The series and the story and the characters and all that is good enough that I'm willing to ignore the fact that I don't really like looking at it. It's not the worst CG. It's probably in the top tier in terms of CG and the way it integrates and transitions between CG and regular 2D hand-drawn art. But I'm starting to notice it more and more, and it's kind of bugging me. But at the same time, I really like the story. I want to see where it's going and what's going on. But yeah, and in addition to that, I don't know. I haven't watched any episode of My Hero Academia or anything Royal Tutor recently because I'm just still trying to catch up and get everything all up to date. But yeah, so moving on to some games, I really just want to talk about one game in particular, and that is Jumpstars. So I got a code for Jumpstars for the Xbox One. I believe it is a $10 game, and it's also available on PS4 and Steam. I knew it was like a party game, but what I didn't know, and I think it's important that people know this, there's no AI in the game. So it's 2-4, single screen, multiplayer action. And there's no AI. Not allowing you to play by yourself. And if it's just you and one other person, no AI or any type of counterparts for that. And to me, I think that is a gross oversight in the design, because that greatly limits the audience for this game. You have to know people in person who want to play a game like this, because that's the only way to get any enjoyment out of it. That's the only way to play it, literally, because you can't play it single player. You can't play it by yourself. And on top of that, it's just not that good. The art style, which is very colorful, you have your cube-like characters, like little ice cubes. They're cute and everything. Some of them are ugly, but it looks nice. But it's just not that fun, and there's not that much variety in the games, and there's not much to do. I played a few games of it, and I really didn't have any fun with it, and neither did the person I was playing with. The game modes range from you being in this hot environment, and they're all single-screen platform things like a Super Smash Brothers levels, in that you just have various platforms, so there are various levels you can jump up to them and whatnot, and you also have the ability to punch to each side and above you and jump, and that's it. So some of the game modes are you are on a platform, and then on both sides of the screen there will be rotating things with like lances on them that you have to jump over as they move towards the screen, like those Wipeout games or something. And it will progressively get faster and faster. As the game progresses. And when someone gets knocked off the platform, the other person wins, if it's just two of you. There are modes where you have to keep jumping higher and higher, finding the gap, or lower and lower, finding the gap, so that the danger coming from either the top or the bottom doesn't get you. Whoever dies loses, of course. There's a game mode where the environment is really hot and you have to get to these little thermometers that will cool you off for a specific amount of time, and then a new one will pop up. There's one where like that one with the rotating thing. The things are just coming from the side back and forth to try and help push you off. But you will never be pushed off because they don't move far enough to push you off without being punched off by another player. So if you both want to just chill out there and have a good time, you can just not do anything there. But what else is there? There's one where you just have to eat pie and not get thin until you die. So you just keep chasing after a pie. It's not moving. You just, when you eat it, when you reach it, it disappears, and then a new pie appears somewhere else on the screen, and then you have to get to that, and so on. They're not really creative with their mini game designs, and there are only 10 in the game. There are, I don't know, maybe like 20 or so characters to choose from, because there are, I don't know, 5 for races. And then each of them has 4 or 5 different characters, though none of them, they don't play any different, so it doesn't matter. You have your 4 different colors. I don't know. It's just not fun. That's the problem, is that, one, it's greatly limited by being a local versus game only with no AI. And I understand why they would not put AI in it, because that means they'd have to code AI. And I don't know anything about putting a game together or coding or any of that jazz. But based on my experience with games, you know, there are a lot of games out there that have horrible AI. And AI seems to be one of the most difficult things to really master. And I'm sure even crafting AI that is awful takes some work. So not doing that, not putting that in the game, means they wouldn't have to spend time on that and resources and money and all that, and they could put it elsewhere. But I think not including that makes the game a hard sell for most people. And on top of that, like I said, I don't think the game is actually fun when you're playing with real people. So I would say, don't go anywhere near Jumpstars. And I don't like being so disappointed and down on a game, but I would not, right? Like, I'm not sure. I want to see how much this game costs, if I can get a link to it. Let's see, because I think it is $10, but I would like to be sure just in case. But I would not pay $5 for this game, even if I liked these games, because I think it is a bad one at that. I would pay $2.50 for it, which is horrible to say, but it's so shallow, it's so empty. Another thing about this game that really annoys me, and it just shows to me that so little was put into this game, there is no options menu. None. Not when you're at the main menu. Now when you pause the game, you just see the controls. There are no options. You can't adjust the video, you know, maybe if you want to make it a little brighter or whatever, but you can't adjust the audio at all. You can't turn off the stupid announcer, who is very repetitive and not funny. You can't, you know, adjust the music or any of that kind of stuff. You can't do anything because there are no options whatsoever. The main menu is literally tournament mode, which is 4 random mini games or custom or whatever the hell it's called, where you can create your own little set of mini games, up to 9. And that's it. There's nothing else in the game other than tournament mode, which is 4 random modes, mini games, and your personal create a mode thing, whatever. I can't recommend it at all to anyone, even fans of local couch co-op versus games. I also, one last thing, I don't like the way scoring is handled in the game. because it's weird and I just don't like it. The way it's set up is that the total score for a round is then tallied and distributed between the players or teams based on their position after that minigame. So first place gets 40% of all the points. Second place gets 30. Third gets 20. And of course, last gets 10. But here's a weird thing too. If you're playing with just two people, they will only give out 70% of the total points. So you will see total points so far or whatever across all the minigames you've played. And then you'll see the points of you and the person in second place, the second player. And it will only add up to 70% of the total score because they are still putting aside that 30% for the non-existent third and fourth player, which is just, it's so weird. I don't understand this game. It feels like they put work into a very specific set of things in it. And then just forget, like, we don't need to work on options. We don't need to really work on making sure all this. Let's just have this and it'll function. It'll work. You can play it. The controls will work. The game will run. There's no issue with lag or anything like that. And there are visuals. But let's just forget about everything else. So, yeah. Jump Stars, Xbox One, PS4, Steam. Don't buy it on any of them. I can't. I hope they update it or do something because there is potential in it because it is pretty and there aren't that many, especially on console, I think, these days, especially on Xbox One, I feel even more so, local versus games. But this is just bad. You're not going to, like, if you're dying for one of those types of games, find something in the Xbox Live Arcade that is backwards compatible. Go play Small Arms. I don't know. Something else. Don't waste your time with Jump Stars because right now, that's all it is. A big old waste of time. Oh, that didn't feel good. Speaking of games and not feeling good, I tried renting Prey from Redbox. First time I rented it, photocopy. Second time, photocopy. I got a cha-ching on the third time, but I didn't play it the third time. I just rented it so that I could see if my father could actually play it, because I know he'd like a game like that, but he just can't. He can't do it. And I don't know if there's any way I can teach him how to play games that aren't linear, because I watch him play and he can't comprehend, or his mind just can't wrap itself around the fact that he needs to treat it like a real world and explore every inch of it. Because the way he plays it, I also had him play Bioshock as well. And when he got out of the bathosphere in the very beginning, he walked forward, like to where there's the glass stuff, turned to the right to see the Vita chamber where you respawn. He's like, well, do I go in here? I'm like, and he read the hint or the help thing that told him what it was. I'm like, no, it told you what it was. Then he went to the windows. He saw the stairs leading up to like where the wrench is and all that part of the game is. And then he just turned around and went back. And then he looked and went the path where the bathysphere is, where he came out of. He saw like an area to the side. He's like, he tried walking there. That didn't go. So he just went back in the bathysphere. And then he just kind of walked in there and then would turn around and just was like, I don't know where to go. Where is this where I'm supposed to go? And I don't know. It's frustrating because I know he would love to play games like that. He would be so engrossed in the story and stuff like that and the world, but he just, I would love anyone who has dealt with this or maybe just has some ideas or tips to try. The thing I think I'm going to do is I'm gonna maybe buy Prey. I know I don't want to say I know I'm gonna love it, because I've said that before and been disappointed. Like, I felt like I knew I was going to love Persona 5. I definitely didn't love that. But BioShock is one of my top three games of all time. I feel like Prey, while not exactly like BioShock, has a lot of BioShock in it. And I really want to play it. Also, I love Dead Space, the first one in particular. But what I think I'm going to do, if I don't do that, is just play BioShock again, because I'd love to play through that again. And just do like little mini, like instead of watching a movie with my father, which I would do occasionally, play the game for 2 hours and have him just, one, enjoy the story through my playing of it, and two, maybe in watching me play the game and how I play it, watching, you know, a seasoned veteran video game player, seeing the way I play it, that maybe that will help him or open his mind or just do something to help him potentially change the way he plays or just give him an idea of how, I don't want to say normal person plays, but just maybe we'll give him some insight in the way a gamer, a lifelong gamer, plays a game like that. Because I can understand the difficulty in not being told what to do or specifically where to go. But at the same time, it's just sort of like, he when he asked me for helper stuff, I'm like, I'm not even being exactly told what to do or given some specific direction. And I might come into a part of a game where he's playing and he asks me for help, and then I'll just do it, and I didn't even see the sort of guide or the direction that he was given a half hour ago or whatever, but I'm still able to do it, and it's just sort of this thing that's ingrained in me. So I don't know. I would love any, you know, advice, help, words of wisdom, because I really want him to be able to enjoy games like this and not just the more linear games like all the Call of Duties, which he loves. He loves Call of Duty games. I've said this before, but he's finished, including like Medal of Honor 2, the more linear ones. He's finished probably 10, if not a few more. But they need to be linear, because I also gave him Bad Company before, and he could not grasp his mind around that. He's like, what do I do? And he also has an issue with, my phone is ringing, and it's from Pixelated Saucer right now. It freaked me out. He has an issue with reading the maps, the little mini maps, in that, you know, I try to make it just make sense. I'm like, when the objective is right in front of you, like when it's at the top of your little compass in the bottom, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, your little map, just go forward. That's how it works. When that thing's in at the very top, go forward. That's front. But he has difficulty with that. It's not something he can't work around, but he still has some difficulty with it. But yeah, I would love that. So that's like why we've played through a bit of Halo. We haven't done that much, maybe half of the first Halo, but that's a game he wouldn't be able to do without himself. So like I have to, after every now and again, just kind of stop and like, hey, get over here. Come on. I wish there was a handhold. I wish we could play Eco together and then he could just be the girl and I could just hold his hand when we play co-op games. I could just drag him with me. He doesn't even have to take the control. I'm just like, here, come on. You know what? Does that function actually work in Steam where you can take control? Or was that, what was that for? Was that in PS4? Where there was like an option where you can take control over someone else's game? Because I'm thinking about that now. That would be perfect for me and my father, that thing. It's such a niche service, but for that, it would be perfect. Anyway, I digress significantly. So, I think that will do it for today's episode. That was a decent one, I guess.
Yeah, you say so. It's a decent one.
Okay. Anyway, I am your host once again, Mark Jimenez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Monomilis, and Steam at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm TheKush3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast and the other podcasts we have, like Pixelated Radio and Pixelated Paranormal, as well as the art I do, which I recently finally finished my latest lines piece, which I posted, and I'm really happy with the way it came out. You can... And I don't remember if I mentioned this last time, but you can already order a print for that if you'd like. And yeah, if you'd like to just see all the sites, all the art in general, you can go over to pxsart.com and check it out all over there with links to prints and all that jazz. If you'd like to support the site in general, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way with $1 or $2 every month, because that really does help. And of course you should check out some other podcasts that are, I don't know what accent I'm doing because it's going in and out of various things, but if you'd like to support some other podcasts that are friends of the Pixelated Sausage family, you should definitely check out, I should say this in very clear to understand English, Sports Car Unleashed, which is co-hosted by Pixelated Radio co-host Rich, Sports Car Unleashed, which you can find at sdunleashed.com, a great podcast about racing. I'm sure it's great, despite never listening to it, because I don't really care about racing, though I have to say, watching the Indy 500 and then crash, I think as amazing as cars are, especially those cars, which, you know, they can go so fast and just all the stuff that goes into that, and just the fact, you know, with any every car, the way they work and that they allow this hunk of metal to move at great speeds and maneuver through tight spaces and just make sharp turns and stuff like that, all that jazz. To me, what's most amazing about the engineering and design of cars is the fact that in cars like that, and even regular cars that we drive on the street, that you can have such a horrific looking accident and then the driver just walks away. That is the most incredible thing. That is what's amazing, watching a crash like that and watching a race like that, is not how fast these cars are moving and their maneuverability, but it's the fact that over all this time, like, they've advanced to such a point where something that looks so horrific, it's so devastating, you know, a human being could just walk away from that. But another podcast you should check out is the O&D podcast, hosted by Big Steven. What the hell happened to my voice there? And company, which I don't know what the hell the website is there. It might just be the Facebook page. But of course, everything is on iTunes, like the Crazy Sunshine podcast, which is a lovely anime podcast about anime and other stuff, like wrestling. They're doing a fantasy draft with anime about wrestling. Oh, God, I need to end this show. But yeah, Crazy Sunshine Podcast, which is on iTunes under the name Crazy Sunshine Podcast, clearly. And this podcast is also on iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher Radio and Player FM and Google Play Store and pretty much everywhere you could ever want to listen to it. Downloaded it on all of them, so it just makes it seem like the 5 times as many people watch and listen to the show. Nobody watches it, because if they're watching it, stop looking at me. My camera's not on. Stop it. But definitely check out all those shows. And check out this one more than any of the other ones. Though, if you're hearing this, you already are. So, thank you for your listening ears. And yeah, that will do it for today's episode. I hope you had a lovely weekend. Enjoyed the day off yesterday and are enjoying today and the rest of your week. I'm happy because the latest book from Jason should be arriving sometime later today for me. I think it's on the Camino or something. But love, Jason. Can't wait to read his latest book. And I also got the one JoJo book I've been missing, because I had from the first, I have the hardcover series, the first two sets, but I was missing the second book from the first set. So I had one and three, and then the second one, 1 through 4. I don't have any of the third, but I haven't started reading any of it because I was missing the second one, but I finally got it today. So that's exciting. Anyway, this needs to just end. So bye-bye. Bye-bye.